Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Delicious Talk, the segment bringing sexy back. How is everybody doing this cold, cold January evening? But you know what? It's a whole brand new year, and I am so blessed to have made it into 2014 because a lot of people didn't, you know. And all I can say is thank you, God, for bringing me through another year. I've been here 64 years, and hopefully I'll be here 164 more, you know. I really mean that, too. But anyway, hopefully everybody's in the house, you know, nice and warm, you know, not being out in the elements, because we did have a person froze to death here the other night. And, you know, that's sad because nobody should be homeless. Nobody should be hungry, you know, but that's just the way it is. And, you know, we have to be thankful and count our blessings, you know, keep it moving. But always remember, never look down on a man unless you're helping him up. Never, because if you're not going to help him up, don't even look down on him. And we, this evening, we're going to have fun. We're going to have a good time because I'm bringing back a good old friend of mine. That's authoress Terry E. Lowes. She really needs no introduction, but I am going to say a little bit about her because she's such a phenomenal woman. I met authoress Terry E. Lowes back in June of 2013. As a matter of fact, she was on Facebook, but I met her in person, and we really clicked, you know. And I really think that was for a reason, because I never believe in coincidence. Things happen for a reason. So we clicked. She's an authoress of 8 books. Her latest book, Insane, I have that book, and if you don't have it, you will have a chance tonight to win a copy. And if you don't win a copy, you can always go to her website and order a copy. You know, or you can get it on Kindle, however you want it. But tonight we're going to give you guys a chance to win her book. She's from Alabama. She's a mother, grandmother, motivator, innovator. She's a good person. And Terry will let you know what's on her mind. She has no cut cards. And if she got something to say, she's not going to bite her tongue. She's going to let you know. So if you want to know the truth about anything, Terry will lay it on you. So without further ado, I'm going to bring in my co-host, my guest co-host, and then we're going to bring in our special, special guest. Good evening, Jade. How are you, darling?
Hey, how you doing, Miss Delicious?
I am fantastic, girl. Just, you know, waiting to do this show with authoress Terry Lowes because she's just, you know, like I said, she's a phenomenal woman, and she's a friend, you know, and she's a good person, and she speaks her mind. You know, she says what she means.
She is a good person.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know,
and we're
going to
have fun.
Person.
I know that we're going to have fun with her.
Yes, most definitely. So without further ado, I'm going to bring in Miss Authoress Terry E. Lowes.
Yay!
Well, hello, ladies.
Terry.
How are you? And it's good to be here on your show. And as well, I give back the compliment to two other dynamic women. So how are you today on this cold night, like you said?
I am just fantastic, darling, you know, but, you know, like I said, this is not your first time here, so you're at home when you come to Delicious Talk Studio.
All right.
So,
yeah,
you know.
Absolutely.
Right, so everybody, when we say authoress Terry E. Lowes, you know she needs no introduction because you already know who authoress Terry E. Lowes is, and, you know, we're going to have some fun tonight, and like I said, we're going to have a chance people are going to get a chance to win copies of her book, Insane. I have a copy of it, and that's a very, very good book. It's filled with, to me, it's a book of, it's a book of learning and expressions and poetry. You know, it's really a good book, and I think anybody who wants to order a good book, you know, just pick up Terry Lowes' Insane. It's really a good book. So, Terry...
Yes,
now,
darling.
we already know that you have 8 books, okay? Now, what is it that motivated you to write your first book?
Brown Bag Poetry was my first book, and what inspired me to write that was, surprisingly enough, I went to a funeral, and there I saw that my younger relatives, how you know, productive they were in the business world. It was doing well, and, you know, and I was just sitting there, you know, living comfortably and, you know, in a retired mode, and I was just surprised. I said, well, man, I can do something a little bit better than this. I can do more. And I was sitting at home one day, and I was listening to Steve Harvey, and he was saying that don't get mad at him because of his achievements. You know, we all got a talent, and whatever it is that you do well, that's your talent. So, you know, I said, that's good. So I said to myself, well, Lord, what talent do I have? Now, don't misunderstand. I did not hear any voices talking to me, none of that crap, you know. But what I felt inspired that the Lord was saying, well, you're running your mouth down. And, girlfriend, when I made that decision, stuff was just popping out of me, pow, pow, pow. I was writing like 7, 8 entries in a day, you know, and I knew it was God inspired, and because the reason is I had went to the bank one day to deposit a check, and they offered me a credit card. Now, usually you have to apply for a credit card, and I said, no, I don't want that. But then I said, no, take it. That's extra money in case I get into a bind, right? So I took the credit card. I wasn't intending on using it. And then when I started writing, I had the book completed, finished, edited in 30 days. So I said, okay, I'm going to publish my book. So I went online and put in Trafford, you know, publishing company, out of Canada, and it showed they was number one. So I said, okay, that's cool. I will be global right out the gate. And so when I looked about the cost of, you know, publishing my book, it was $2,499.
Wow.
$500. So I was meeting and said, oh, wow, right down to the wire. So it is what it is. It's a book that's especially explicit material in it. It has things about worldly to godly, you know. It's still my bestseller, you know, but the people at my church, they wanted to kick my behind out the church because they were saying, Sister Lyle, you the Bible school teacher, and you got all that stuff up in your book. I said, keep it real. You know, Jesus Christ is the only person that I know, you know, came about Immaculate Conception. So, you know, needless to say, some of them shied away from me, and some met me at the car trying to get my book on the down low, but it is what it is, you know. My relationship with Christ is intact, but what I do for a living is another thing. So you know, you'll enjoy it because I hold no punches. I tell it like it T.I. is.
Right. So you mean to tell me that you had problems out of the people in the church because you're a Sunday school teacher. But,
yeah.
You know, like you mentioned, the people in the church for some reason, and I get this a lot, the people in the church are, you know, very judgmental. And, you know, like you had also mentioned, God is the only judge. Now, when you got, the judgment from them saying you need to be out of the church and this and that, what did you do? Did you tell them, you know, just what you had said, or did you go to the pastor, or you just kept doing your thing?
Well, a lot of things ran through my mind. One was I felt hurt because I had embraced these people, and I thought they were my sisters and brothers in Christ. Another thing was I talked to my mom, and we were, like, very close, and she said, hold your head up, baby, you know, because it is what it is, you know. And my book, surprisingly enough, has inspired people who are not in the church to come to church because they said to themselves, well, dang, this chick, man, she's a Bible school teacher, and she's bringing this up to you raw. So it shows that anybody can change. You know, don't judge me because, you know, we all have our own individual cross to bear, you know, and people don't like it because I'm honest. And
right. It
is what it is, you know.
Wow. Well, let me ask you, how did your family embrace you on your first book?
They said, you nasty. You know, my mom is her favorite book, Quasi's Cap.
I know that's right. I know
wow. That's
right.
I'm a little bit nasty, but I'm a lot spiritual, too. But it's an equal blend. You know, I know how to, you know, depending on who I'm around, how to tone it down and how to bring
right. It
up. And I'm not a phony, you know. I like
right.
I talk about it, and I love the Lord, and I talk about that, too. So my book is a blend of everything. I never write a book without addressing the issues in the church.
Right, right, because people, you know, the people in the church, Christians, quote, unquote, you know, they're so fast to judge and say you're doing this and you're doing that. But a lot of them are going home, they're abusers, they're child molesters and the likes, you know, so who are they to stand up on the pulpit and tell you, you don't do this, you don't do that? But a lot of them tell you, don't do as I do as I say. You know, you have to
right. Practice
what you preach. And I find that out about you, Terry. You're a very honest person, you know, because whatever you say, you do, and you mean what you say. So,
exactly. Like
you said, they don't, some people can't stand honesty, you know, and the truth. The truth hurts some people, you know. But honesty is the best policy, even though some people may be hurt by some things a person may say, but in the long run, you'll get over it, you know.
Yeah, but you know something, Gail, one thing I found out, I used to be a tractor-trailer instructor, and I had a serious accident where I hit a patch of black ice, and I rolled down the ravine about 4 or 5 times. They had to cut me out the truck. I made the I almost didn't make it, but after that happened, I got to appreciate the simplistic things about life, you know, and that is when I decided I'm not going to tell white lies to not hurt nobody's feelings. I'm going to give people the truth raw and in their face because when it's all said and done, they will know I have integrity, you know, and like you said, people don't like the truth, but you got to give them the truth so they can marinate that in their brain, and, you know, when they alone, they can say, well, yeah, maybe I need some work on this, but we find ourselves guilty, a lot of people always trying to shield people from honesty because we don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. So, you know, at the end of the day, I'm going to tell you the truth. It might not be pretty, but you don't judge me, and I expect that from other people because I love the truth. Give it to me. You can call it critiquing, criticizing. I don't care, but I want to know where I fall short.
Right, right. And, you know, some people, it's a shame that some people can't handle the truth. You know, they rather, you know, they rather hear a lie than to embrace the truth. You know,
amen.
But like I said, you know, the truth is really what will set a person free.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I think
because
that sometimes people secretly, so there are people that secretly agree with the truth, but around other people, because a lot of times you can't accept, like you said, like y'all are saying, you can't accept the truth. They are having this kind of facade, you know, they play around people. That's just like I was thinking when you were talking about people coming to your car and they buying your book. you may have those, you have those fans that don't even tell you that they're interested in your book because in front of you they're like, oh, that's just too much. You know, these are church people.
Right.
So, they, of course, they're like, you know, that's just too much. So they're not following those other people to your car. They're secretly buying your book without even you knowing.
And I know that they're doing it because they come to me, and plus different congregations, when I see them out in public, they be saying, write more books, and they be giggling, hee-hee-ha-ha. You know, people can say what they want to say. People put you down when you have a healthy attitude about sex. You know, just because just because I'm single don't mean I have dried up. Man, I still want to get my little party on, pow, pow, make it do what it do, you know. And you can judge if you want to, but I tell you what, if you ever get lucky to get some of this, I'm going to put a smile on your lips, baby.
No, that's right.
No, that's right. Yes.
Wow.
I
don't care what people think, you know, about me, because I believe that intimacy, you can share whatever it is between you and that person. And, you know, if I'm with you, man, I'm going for it. You know, if you want to use candy, if you want to use fruit, you want to use toys, you know, you want to, you know, pour shit on my body, hey, you know, licky, licky, I don't care, you know. You know, a little big girl face on, you know.
No, that's right. You know, it's you know, it's so refreshing if you could give a class to some of those people that have a stick up their butt, so to speak. You know, because
I know
I'm quite
right,
sure.
Mm.
Right. If you could just, you know, get them in a setting and just let them know, you know, it's really not, especially some of them may even be married and still don't want to, you know, be with their husbands or, you know, stuck up or, you know, stuff like that. Get them together and have a, you know, a healthy conversation, you know, with them about, you know, sex. Because, you know, it was created for us to have to be intimate with each other, but, you know, due to the biblical thing, we're supposed to be married. But nobody's perfect, so everybody is doing what they do, but, you know, you just need to get some people to open up and realize that if you do it, it's not really like you're going to, God is going to throw a lightning bolt down on you and kill you, you know, because we're imperfect. So
that's
people
right.
Need to.
A lot of honeys out there, man. They got their bag of tricks, got their dildos, their potion, lotions, all this kind of stuff. I got a bag too because, you know, the thing with me is I'm not just going to give my body to anybody. And while I wait and take my time and observe who I want to interact with, you know, I'm going to please myself because I know myself better than anybody else do. You know, but the thing is, people just get on my nerve. You know, if you look behind closed doors, there's a lot of dark secrets, and that's what I'm all about. I'm just trying to tell the truth in a way that's so transparent that people get it, you know. And it might be ashamed, might be embarrassed, but, you know, we all got to go through some stuff. And once you realize you're not unique, get over it. Let's keep it moving.
Yep. Yep. So people need to, and y'all out there listening, you heard that. So don't be, you know, all uptight saying, well, ooh, she said that, and she got dildos, she got this. You know, she's not trying to hide anything or be ashamed of anything because some of you might even have dildos that you got hidden up in the closet that you use when your husband go to work, you know.
Their batteries
so.
Ran out. Oh, Lord, let me stop messing with y'all.
But,
Lord,
but you know.
Right.
But it's the truth, you know, because people will call you out in a minute. You know what I'm saying? But as soon as you call them out, oh, no, no, I've never done that. But yes, you have. Yes, you have, but you just don't want to admit it. You can't live up to the truth and face what you've done, but you're always ready to criticize somebody and bring somebody else down. You know, so people
right
need
about
to.
That. And you know one thing? People like to pick certain things about my personality to talk about. Now, they can talk about the comedian side of me. They can talk about the sexual side of me. They can talk about the spiritual side of me. But if they really know me, they know I'm a person that I have compassion for everybody. You know, I still cry sometimes when I see situations or see people going through stuff, you know. And I'm a big fan of helping someone when they're going through stuff because I put my money where my mouth is. You know, we got to help each other. We got to reach back and do what we can, keep people going, because it might be just one word that comes out your mouth that makes that difference. So don't see one side of me. See the whole picture, because I'm a Renaissance woman. I've done a lot of things. I'm multifaceted with the different things about me. If you get to know me, I'm an excellent friend. You know, I got your back, you know. But, you know, I'm going to tell you what it is, you know. I just try to keep it real, and that's how I want to live my life until I die.
Absolutely.
Yep. There's nothing wrong with that. So now you finished your first book. Now, how long was it after you finished your first book that you got into your second book? Because you got eight of them, and you know. And it's, when did you do your first? What year did you do your first book in?
First book, I done it December the 17th, 2008.
Wow.
And then,
so you have,
then it went on to trying to put out two books per year. And I just feel like I'm going to keep writing as long as it's in me, because I never know when my season is up, and then I'll just have books that I can re-energize and publicize, you know. So
right.
I'll just keep writing as long as I got something to talk about. And I'm currently working on books 9 and 10. One is Big Girls Don't Count Us Out, and the other one's called Exposed, because I like to be the person to say the words that you think about, but you just can't put it down clear enough to express maybe the humiliation that you're feeling, or maybe, you know, just how you love someone. You know, I just want to be that mouthpiece to say the things that you're thinking in a way that reacts to your heart and to your mind and to where you hear it in your spirit.
And then what book is this going to be in?
Which
Exposed?
One?
The one you were just speaking of. You say you want to say the things that people don't want to say. Is that going to be an Exposed or the Big Girls book?
Baby, that's in every book that I write. If you would look at the books that I write, all my books, that's the basic thing about them, is that it's all real dialogue. It's like you're sitting up with me and you're talking to a friend, you know, and you say things, and I'm not too embarrassed to give you an answer. And I felt stupid. I've loved and lost, you know. I did dumb stuff, you know, and we're all pretty much alike. And so I just tell my story, you know, and my story is your story and that person's story, you know, but I just tell it.
Right, so your stories are heartfelt. They're coming straight from your heart. And there's nothing wrong with that, because, you know, people, when they read stuff like that, they can relate to it. You know, they can say, wow, I felt like that at one time, or that happened to me. So it's good when you write from your heart. You know, they have a lot of books out here about drug dealers and whores and this and that, but a heartfelt book is a book that will linger in your mind longer than, I think, a book, you know, these street-lit books. Now, there's nothing wrong with them, but I'm just saying, for somebody to relate to a story where maybe you was in a domestic violence relationship, and this person would be there and say, wow, that happened to me, the same exact thing, so I know how she feels. You know, they may even want to reach out to you and, you know, get in touch with you, and you become, you know, like a sister friend, so y'all can, you know, talk about things and relate to each other that way. You know, so I commend you on that, you know, for writing your books like that, you know, heartfelt books, because there's nothing wrong with that, and I love reading heartfelt books, just like Insane, that book, when I was reading, I said, wow, this is really deep, you know. But, and then you said the Big Girl book. What inspired you to write, you know, to want to write about the big girls?
There's a female friend of mine here in the Columbus, Georgia area named Pam Hovey, and she has this television show, and she's just a wonderful, godly woman, and she's plus size, and she always get on her TV show, and she start by saying hi to the big girls, and she keep trying to make people feel like it's okay to be a plus size. And, you know, I used to be a tenderoni, small, all stacked, you know, but when I had the accident, steroids, inactivity, I had put on some weight because of the pain level, and I couldn't do it because of the surgeries. Thank God it's going back down now. But when you gain weight, you know, people got a lot of things they want to say about you. They try to judge you by your size. But, you know, I love big people. You know why? Because big people are honest enough to be, you know, able to express, well, I don't feel pretty some days. Or, you know, I like big people because they're honest. They know their own shame level, the things that they are embarrassed about, and they're more real about it. But these thin women, you know, who got everybody kissing their behind and looking at them like they all this and that, you know, they so trifling.
And plus, some of them look like they suffer from anorexia. I mean, you know, Not to say that, you know, because I'm a big girl too, but, you know, I see some of these pictures on the internet of the, and even some of the movie stars, they look like they are so undernourished until it's not funny. And, you know, I believe that you're supposed to be a certain size for your body frame, and they look more or less like they're skeletons.
Right.
And
but
they,
yeah,
they,
let me
they
say
call
this,
that
I don't
beautiful.
Want to offend nobody. I'm not putting down people that are small. God bless
right.
you. Don't judge the people that might have thyroid problems or somebody who may have gotten big because of the fact they were molested, so they're trying to
depression,
look kind of trash.
Yeah.
People leave them alone. And that's what my book will address, the theories behind being big, because everybody big is not because they're sloppy, they're lazy, they want to eat. There's a lot of different factors and testimonies in that book, and I just want to empower women to feel like whatever you are, embrace that. Because you were saying that people would approach me to talk and speak. I do that right now. I do a lot of women empowerment groups, and I have people crying, you know, when I go there and I speak, because I went there one time, and I wrote this poem. It's called Come Here, Little Girl. It says, mm-hmm. Come here, little girl, and sit on my lap. Let me molest you while your parents nap. This would be a secret that you can't tell, because I'm a sick predator from the depths of hell. One day, when you're fully grown, you'll be mentally messed up because you were molested at home. But I'll return on another day. I'll smile at your parents, and you'll be my prey, even though I'm your uncle who won't leave you alone. And I read that at one of those meetings. This girl, the same
thing.
Wait,
hold on. Back up. Is that the end of it?
Yeah, you know.
Oh, because
I mean,
I was getting into it.
And that's one of the things I like about poetry. I can have an effect with very few words, and you can get the picture.
Right, yeah, because I was getting into that. Okay.
There could be a part two coming up, you know.
Okay, darling. So you do that when you go to those empowerment groups, and the women actually are feeling that, so they express emotion behind that.
Yeah, I talk about drugs, being incarcerated, being abused, being raped, being homeless. You know, there's a lot of things about me that I've experienced and been a part of and people don't know. So until you walk in my shoes, you don't really know why I do what I do. But I try to take my life experiences, things I've known and observed through other people, and I just want to bring us all together as one and, you know, embrace each other. Like, it's okay, you know, you're hurting, let's talk about it. I got a shoulder for you to cry on, you know. We need to learn how to be friends and interact
right.
instead of it's all about you, it's all about you, it's all about me. We can't live in a society that's based on me. It's a us thing.
Right, that is true. And once people learn that, we may be ready to come together, but people are so stuck on it being about them. Oh, it's about me. I want this. I need that. Give me this. Give me. You know, when people really need to be reaching out to each other, helping each other out, you know, it's not about you. This world does not revolve around no one person.
Right.
You know, and the world wasn't made for one person, not even one race of person. But, you know, people are so stuck on how society says this, society says that, until that's how they become a part of society. They become inhuman, you know, because anytime a man can rape how old was that baby, 5 months old, a five-month-old baby, something is wrong.
Mm. Wow.
You know, so yeah, so, you know, something, you know, it's terrible how the media plays things out, and, you know, society is just messing a lot of people's minds up, you know, so that's, you know, a lot of these things can be blamed on society, but not all on society, because we have decisions and we have choices that we can make ourselves. You know, we don't have to go along with the program. You know, just because you can pay $20,000 for a Prada pocketbook or whatever, don't mean I'm going to go out there and pay $20,000 is going to buy me a car, some clothes, and some more things, you know. But society just has it where people are just so spaced out, so crazy, and just do so many crazy things, so it's not funny. But anyway, we don't want to get off the topic. So your second book.
Wow. When do you do this?
What was the name of it?
Oh, Wow, Windows of Wisdom.
Okay.
Well,
that's very interesting.
Yeah, I know
sure.
you have a kind of way that you want to do this interview, but people only see one part of me. Is it okay if I share a prayer? Because I want them to see the softer side of me that people don't normally look at. They just want to see other parts of me. But I wrote a prayer, and I said it in church, and it affected so many people. My mother, she got so excited. But, you know, mm-hmm. I want people to see a different side of me, and if you don't mind, I would like to read that prayer.
Sure, sure. Go right ahead.
It's called Thank You, Lord. I want to thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for me. I want to thank you, Lord, for me and mine. I want to thank you, Lord, for not allowing me to fall through the cracks. I want to thank you, Lord, for having me when I didn't love myself. Father God, the people around me, they don't know what I've been through. But, Lord, you've been there every step of the way. And I need to thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for me. Lord, I want to thank you for being the lawyer in a courtroom. Lord, I want to thank you for being like Campbell's soup. Good. Lord, I want to thank you for being like United, flying the friendly skies. Lord, I want to thank you for being like a doctor in a sick room. Lord, I want to thank you for all that you've done for me. They just don't know what I've been through, but Lord, you've been there every step of the way. Lord, you've been there in the midnight hour. My Lord, you've been so good to me. Lord, I want to thank you for being the I am that I am God. Lord, I want to thank you for being Alpha and Omega. Lord, I want to thank you for being the Prince of Peace. Lord, I want to thank you for being the lily of the valley. Lord, I want to thank you for being the rose of Sharon. Father God, they don't know what I've been through, but you've been there every step of the way. Lord, I want to thank you for me and mine. I want to say thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit that comforts me. Lord, I want to thank you for your mercy and grace upon my life while you protected me from things seen and unseen. Lord, I just want to say thank you for all that you've done for me. People need to get to know you for themselves. I said people need to get to know you for themselves because you're in the B-I-B-L-E. But today I'm going to say thank you, Jesus, and praise your holy name for all that you've done for me. You know, and when I say that prayer, you know, that's the real Terry Lyle. You know, I'm funny. I'll be joking. I'll be talking about stuff. But if you actually got to know me, I put God first in everything. And I just want to thank you for letting me say that because I wanted to see my spirit, just not see my words.
Right. Well, for a minute, girl, I thought I was in church.
I'm getting ready to say, because I was going to be like, thank you, Jesus. What is,
yes.
What happened here?
Yes, 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 yes. So you are a Sunday school teacher as well, right?
I'm a Sunday school teacher and Bible school teacher. And I deal with kids from the ages 4 to 8 and sometimes 10, you know, and I love my children, and they love me as well, but I'm very animated, and when I share the Bible with them, I share it in a way that they can remember. You know, recently I was doing Genesis, and I was telling the kids about the Garden of Eden and how Eve ate the apple, and I was talking about the two trees that they was, you know, was in the garden, the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and anyway, I was saying to the kids, I said, well, you know, one day she was in this garden. It was nice. It had everything. It had all the fruit she could want. It was a nice, pretty day. And all of a sudden, this serpent slithered up to her and said, hey, Eve, eat this apple because you'll be like God, you know. And she said, say what? He said, eat this apple, Eve, and you'll be like God. So she ate the apple, and he said, oh, my Lord, I'm naked. So she said, Adam, eat the apple. You know, and so Adam said, no. He said, no, eat the apple. And so Adam ate the apple, and he was naked, and they ran and hid behind a bush. And so after the Bible class was over, one grandmother asked her granddaughter, he said, well, what did you learn in Bible class? We learned Eve ate the apple, and she was naked. And they said, that Terry Law, there she go, off the hook. But, you know, it's the truth.
Yeah, it is the truth. Well, that's according to the Bible, yeah. Yeah, but, you know, you did it in a way that, you know, is understandable for them, you know,
exactly.
Because
my group, they know more about the disciples, their names, everything, and the junior groups in the church, they don't know half the stuff that my kids know. And I teach them in a way that their mind can relate to it, and I make it funny, you know. So when I come, They hug me. They love me. And now some of the people are starting to relax because they realize that I'm telling the truth. And the kids like to be in my class. I got a large class. And the preacher, he always validate me. He took my first book, Brownback Portrait, to his job and sold some copies. So, hello. Go
wow,
figure.
Ain't nothing wrong with that. Nothing. Well, look, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back after the break, and we're going to get back into all of your books that you've written and, you know, just kick it off and, you know, have a good time. So we'll be back.
What you doing?
Reading.
I can see that. What's the title of the book?
Insane.
Oh, I heard about that author.
Where'd you hear?
I heard that she is Authoress Terry Elow, who lives in Alabama. She's written and published 7 books. Insane is her 8th book.
Wow, you are right.
So where did you get your book?
From her website, www.terrylau.com. You also get it on Amazon straight to your Kindle.
Can I read Insane when you finish?
No way. This was autographed to me. But you can go to her website, www.terrylau.com, and get your own autographed copy.
Write that down for me.
I sure will.
I've heard it all before. And love is a two-way street. You have to give something to this relationship. I'm all out of understanding. It's always something with you, and all I've got to say is, gave you the best years of my life, and I gave you one who stood by your side through all your ups and downs, your rights and all your wrongs. And God knows there were wrongs. I should have been long gone, but when I made you that promise, for better or worse, I said I'd stay by your side. I swallowed my pride, and now you're asking me to understand. And I'm telling you, I can't. Why should I care about your feelings when you don't give a damn about mine? Well, I don't want to know. I couldn't care less about your feelings. Don't you know? You should have cared more. Woman who loves you, we're sitting here falling apart all through your ins and outs, your fears and all your doubts. God knows they've been down, but we've given you a home and you're just throwing it away, baby, all for some girl born yesterday. And what about your children? There's nothing to explain, but still you're asking us to understand. Well, I'm telling you we can't. Why should we care about your reasons when you're walking right out of our lives? And I don't want to know.
that's Miss Gladys Knight singing I Don't Want to Know. And in case you guys are just tuning in, we're having a wonderful time with authoress Terry E. Lyles. She's a regular on here now. She's back again tonight. And we're having fun. Also, I want to bring on my co-host. I have a new co-host for 2014. It's a gentleman, and he played in the short film with me. Oh, my goodness, the film just went straight out of my head. I'm sorry. Where are you? I'm sorry, Jadino, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Can you hear me? Yes, I can hear you, darling. What was the name of the film? Where are you?
Where have you been?
Okay, I am so sorry. Where have you been? And he played my son in that movie. And if you haven't saw that, please check that out on YouTube, or you can go to my page and check it out, Where Have You Been? A very good film by Mitch Cradle. And like I said, Jadino is my new co-host for 2014, so let's give him a welcome, Jade. Jade is my guest co-host because I'm also looking for a female co-host as well. Now, Rhea, she hasn't gotten here yet, and I don't know if she's going to be here tonight, but she's been with me for years now. But, you know, like I said, I don't know if she's going to come in tonight. But this is Jadino Blasco, right?
That's right.
It's
okay.
Dino?
Yeah.
Dino.
The Dino. All right. Welcome.
Right, and that's Jade. Right, that's Jade. Jade Byron, and we also have authoress Terry E. Lyles on the line. That's who we're interviewing tonight. She's an authoress of 8 books, and we're talking about, we've already discussed her first book, the very first book she wrote, and we dived into a little bit of a couple of books that she's working on at present. But we're getting ready to talk about her second book, and we're going to work it on down, and we also have a contest going on tonight. So anytime you have any questions that you want to ask, you know, feel free to ask them, or any comments you want to make, feel free to do that as well. And to the listener audience out there, if you have any questions or comments for this evening's guest, the call-in number is 646-652-2877. Again, that number is 646-652-2877. Now, we're going to get right back into the conversation that we were having before we went to commercial break. Now, Terry.
Yes.
Your second book. Or are we on the third book?
Second book, wow.
Okay, well, we're going to talk about your second book. So tell us, you know, how that came about, because we want to know how you got in, you know, because writing your first book, you explained that. Your second book, how did you, you know, and then you were so motivated from writing your first book, that's what kept you writing?
Yes, it did. You know, it just seemed like I just had so much in me I wanted to say. I couldn't say it all in the first book. So all of my titles, it's like an indication of what you're going to get. Like Brownback Poetry, my first book, you will see a picture of a lady coming out of a bag because it has sexual explicit material in that book. And when you send things in the mail that has sexual explicit material, it's usually in a brown bag. And people call women's bags. And it's an old painting, and on that lady's body, her neck, her face, her lips are different shades of a woman. And with wow, it's like, it makes you say wow when you read the stories that I talk about, because that's a blend of short stories and poetry.
Wow. Well, that, you know, it's also funny how you people come up with titles to their books, you know, because that even sounds like it should be that, because you say a lady coming out of a bag, and when you do send explicit things through the mail, they're generally in brown paper wrapping or, you know, some type of disguise so people won't, you know, be nosy and see what's going on with it. Because I used to get explicit stuff through the mail as well, and when I was, you know, being a romance consultant, when I would, you know, send my mail out, it was also, you know, so people couldn't know what was going on. So, yeah, I understand that. Now, would you like to read something from that book for us, or you want to get into the next book?
I would like to read something about being homeless, and the reason why I would like to read that is because over the United States, we've been having a cold spell, and temperatures have been dropping. And I've been so concerned. I was wondering, where are these homeless people going when there's no more room? And I just kind of and my sister called me today, and she said she saw this homeless guy. She offered him
a meal and to take a shower, and my brother told her don't do it. But sometimes you got to open your heart and help somebody because people are freezing to death. And I just want to touch on being homeless.
Okay.
Being homeless can happen to any man. And because of my story, I know that it can. Lost without shelter and nowhere to go. My daily struggle is the only thing that I know. I lost my job, then my home went next. Things went bad so quickly, I thought I was hexed. When you look in my eyes, please don't see a bum. Just see the worst that my life has become. I only wish I knew how to get back on my feet. My life is so bleak that I feel the defeat. It's hard to be helpful, hopeful when you've lost all you've had. Today inside, I only feel sad. I survive on handouts. As the people pass me by, I smile thank you while inside I cry. I've heard that brighter days are coming, and I hope that will be, because right now being homeless is all that I see. Opportunities pass because of economic loss. Can't even build on the skills that I have been taught. My clothes are tattered and worn straight through, no longer providing warmth, not even my shoes. I huddle up so tight, trying to keep warm. No space in the shelter, living-type dorms. The weather is threatening to be really bad. A plastic bag to cover me is all that I had. But I'm not discouraged, and I look straight ahead. Tomorrow might be my chance to secure me a bed. So today, when I arise and look all around, I hope a warm bed is there to be found. I'm down on my luck, and this thing is true. But remember, my story could easily happen to you.
That is true.
Right. I love
yes.
it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Love it.
That was really something because, you know, we're all one step from being homeless, you know, so we have to be grateful and thankful for what we do have because somebody's out in the street freezing right now, you know, while we're in the comfort of our homes, you know, with heat, water, you know, everything, you know, so people need to stop complaining, you know, about little
mm-hmm.
things because it's so little because I used to complain and then I said to myself, why am I complaining? I have nothing to complain about. My little hoopty broke down on me, so it's gone. You know, I'm not even going to think about it anymore because I can basically get public transportation or, you know, call my daughter or someone for a ride. But, you know, I've had it for 4 years and, you know, the end is the end. You know, but I still have a roof over my head, food and refrigerator and, you know, the things, the necessity things that I need, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have everything that I want, but I definitely have everything that I need. So,
yeah.
You know, I think we need to stop complaining and, you know, just start being a little bit more grateful and thankful for the things that we do have.
Exactly. I agree.
Yeah. So, now let's move on to your third book.
Say It Ain't So.
What's the third book?
It's called Say It Ain't So.
Okay, Say It Ain't So. Okay, how'd you come up with that title?
Because a lot of my landish. It's like it talks about being gay, homosexual, going through menopause. It touched drugs. It talk about things that people want to you know, tell you be quiet, we can't let nobody know. It talks about being a victim. So these are those stories that make you feel like, oh, my God, you know. Ooh, it gives you the willies, you know.
Okay. All right, then. Let's go to your next book.
Okay. My next book, I think it was Confessions. And that's a book about just being honest, just, you know, telling it, you know, whether you're a cross-dresser or whether you're caught up, like when you go to Mexico, you see the women, they are having sex with mules and donkeys, you know. But
oh,
that's
goodness.
The story, you know, and I've seen it. Shocked me.
I've seen it, too.
I can't imagine all that I saw. And she was handling that. But, you know, you got to think about the person's mindset to even do that, you know. But,
yeah.
Yuck. But I tell that story, too.
Yeah, because I think there's boundaries when it comes to sex, you know. And bestiality is something that I just can't imagine
mm-hmm.
being with an animal. And we've had so many cases on the news in 2013 of men and women raping their dogs, you know. I just, Yeah, I just can't imagine that, you know, at all. At all, you know. So, yeah, it's good when you can bring these things to the forefront, because some people, you know, don't even know about things like that. Because, I mean, the very first time I saw something like that was years ago. A girl had bought a tape to work, and the name of the tape, I'll never forget it, and VHS was out then. It was McDonald's Farm. So I had brought the tape home, and she just said, well, it's a tape about, you know, people on the farm, whatever. I get the tape home, put it in the VHS. I could not watch that thing. I could not watch it all the way through because it was just so sickening. You know, women, and then they have having oral sex with animals, and it just turned me off. I couldn't watch it, I just can't imagine what a person. They must have blank minds, because a person in that right mind would never do anything like that. So people who do things like that with animals, they just don't have any mind, as far as I'm concerned. You know, you can't, because that is so unnatural until mm-hmm. it's not even funny, you know.
Yeah, I would suggest that anybody want to read my book, Say It Ain't So, is a powerful book, and it tells it all. It even shares my stupidity and things I've done, you know. So it's funny, it's insightful, it goes the whole spectrum, you know, emotions.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Your next book?
Okay, Confection. I think it was The Autobiography of Henry Parham. He's a minister of my church, and he wanted me to tell his story, how he survived the Jim Crow racism of the South, and how he got booted out of Fort Benning in Georgia, and his struggle as a black man, you know, in a world full of racism.
Hmm. Wow, well, that's every day, darling, because racism, I don't care how much people want it to go away, it's never going to go away, never, not on this earth, it's not, because it was just programmed like that. And no, the devil is busy. He's
yeah,
very busy, okay. And, you know, he's happy with that, so as long as he's being made happy by people keeping it going, that's what's going to happen. So, and, you know, a lot of times people it's so prevalent now. Tell, you know, they say something, then they turn around and say they're sorry. You're not sorry. You're not sorry because you would have never said it. You know, they're calling us nappy head, black this, and of course I know I'm nappy headed. So it doesn't faze me. Yes, I am. It doesn't faze me, and it doesn't hurt me when somebody calls me nappy headed. You can be black, white, green, or whatever color, because the truth of the matter is I do have nappy hair, but guess what? I'm proud of it.
Amen.
My skin is dark, and I'm proud of it, you know. So anything you say to me don't mean nothing, because it's not what you call me, it's what I answer to.
That's right. And
mm-hmm.
I will not answer that B word, and that really irritates me when I see
right.
people talking to their friends and then using a B word, like this is, you know, like this is a good thing to do. I don't have a dog. I don't be on four legs. Unless I'm in sex, but you know what I'm saying. But you know,
right.
That's
right.
Word
but
me.
Women use that as a term of endearment, and it's never been a term of endearment to me, because the B word it means that it's a female dog,
that
and
means?
I can't accept anybody calling me a dog. If you can't call me by my name, call me beautiful, darling, sweetie, and all those other kind of beautiful names that I am, then you know, don't call me anything. Because I don't answer when somebody says, yeah, B, you know, and I can't, and they be saying I'm a bad B and this and that, you know, and if that's what they want to do, I have no problems with it. But I will not step outside of my box and address a female as a B.
You know, I hate the word B, but I just thought back to growing up, my brother, he used to always call me a heifer, and to me, that's not offensive. Somebody else might say that's offensive because it's a cow, but, you know, when he said, come here, heifer, I said, yeah, I got milk, too, want some. You know, I'll be talking stuff to him, you know, but this is what you get conditioned to, being called. I ain't mad you can call me a heifer.
let's ask Jadino,
I just
how
like
do you...
your response to things, Ms. Terry. I like how you respond to people when they talk to you, or what your comeback is. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I think that that's what brings the uniqueness out in you. And that's what I really like about you.
Well, thank you, you're authentic.
You are authentic. You understand? I love it. I love it.
Yes, thank you, baby.
Let's get Jadino's opinion. What do you think of women who call each other the B word?
You know, for me, when I hear it, it's almost like in the culture now, as far as them calling each other the B word, it's like when guys call each other the N word. It was like they had to have an equivalent to that, so they think it's cool. Or like they call themselves, you know, each other that. But I know for a fact, even if they call themselves that, or your woman might, some guy's woman might even tell them, yeah, I'm a bad B or whatever. But in the light of it, they say that, but if you call them that, they go off. So,
yeah,
they really don't want to be considered a B. They're just saying it. It's like a slang word.
I know that's right.
They saying it, but if their boyfriends or husbands or somebody call them that.
Exactly.
They got
and
a problem.
They ready to kirk out and, you know, go get their brother.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're going to call me that and get away with it and be with me, but you just was doing it yourself. Or you
right.
was doing it with your girlfriend or bragging. Some girls brag about me. You know, I'm bad.
Yeah.
You don't want to mess with me. And I'm like, that ain't what it's about for real. You're supposed to be a lady, a queen.
Absolutely.
You can be a whole bunch of things with that. So you call yourself that, I'm probably not even going to deal with you.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, they really embrace that, and I can't understand for me the reason why. But you know, those are the women who do that. Mm-hmm. I am so unique because I'm me, you know, and everybody has their own uniqueness, you know. But I don't really like anybody referring to me as a dog, you know. So if you can't call me by my name, if you can't call me, you know, all the little sweet little names that I am,
then keep it moving.
Yeah, keep it moving.
Right.
Simple as that. So let's get to your next book, darling.
I think that's Speechless. Did I say Speechless yet?
No, you haven't said Speechless.
Yeah, Speechless, on the book, you'll see a woman coming out of fire, holding a fireball in her hand with her hand reached up. And it's just like the book says, Speechless, because when I would tell somebody, because people know when you write, you always want to get somebody else's opinion of what they thought about what you wrote. And a lot of times when I would write something, people say, oh, my God, I don't know what to say. And that's where that poem came out of, the one I said, Come Here, Little Girl. So my titles, I try to make it so that it captures your attention to make you want to pick up the book. And once I get you to pick up the book, then you're going to love to read, you know. So I try to
right.
pick pictures and titles to make somebody say, Speechless. And, you know, you're speechless, you know.
Right, because your titles are intriguing as well. So, you know, it, the cover is, you know, intriguing and the title is intriguing. You know, people are definitely going to, you know, want to get that book and read it. And, you know, sometimes when the first few pages of a book will captivate a reader and keep them reading on and on. And I've had books like that, you know, just and couldn't put them down, you know, read a book in a day. But, you know, as long as the title is captivating and the cover of the book is captivating, I think that's what sells books. And then they have to be well-written books, you know. So
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's what I try to tell people out there that are inspiring to write. Make sure once you write your book, it's very important to pick a good cover and a good title, because they might not even turn the pages if you don't get
right.
the attention, and you're absolutely right.
Right. That is the truth. And your next book after Speechless?
Peeling Back the Mask. Now, that caused a lot of controversy when I wrote that book. They were telling me I should sell a book up north and not down south, because what I really did is a nonfiction book. I exposed the dirt that was in the church from talking remember, who was a morphodite, which is a person who had both sexual organs. I was talking about the chicks in the church going to different congregations, whoring around. I was talking about the preacher that was incarcerated for trying to rape somebody in the office. And, you know, I'm not scared.
Wow.
Don't be, because I got something for you, pal, pal.
So that book is basically true stories in that book.
Yes, and I tell it all. I even tell about, you know, how I used to have this transsexual friend, you know, had the breasts and the ugly face, trying to be a woman, but was an ugly man. how when I was living in California, mm-hmm. man, in my garage, you know, the prostitute gave me a cut. It is what it is. We all got a past, and I'm not trying to glorify my associates or how I lived my life. I just want to be better than I was. So
right.
people can judge if they want to, but that's what the book is about. I'm telling the truth about me. I even told how, you know, I met this guy in church, and the guy was fine, man, you know, and I loved having sex with this guy because when we would have sex, I had this brother screaming and yelling, and that just got me all excited and shit. He said, oh, how am I going to be a bitch? I said, oh, Lord. Man, then I found out that he was married, and I said, oh, damn. I had to take my
wow.
time to box because the sex was good. He was a straight, bona fide freak. And, man, we was going there like rabbits, and that just turned me on to him screaming, you know. And then when it was over one time, I opened the door. The Jehovah's Witness must have stopped by and left the watchtowers out there. They must have heard his ass screaming. They ain't even knock on the door. I said, yes.
I don't know that's right.
Wow. So how did you find out he was married?
Somebody else told me. He didn't tell me. And then I knew that was wrong because if I'm in a relationship, I don't want anybody stepping on my toes. So
right.
I had to gradually, you know, step down and get away from him because it wasn't just the sex. He was a nice guy. He was from Philadelphia. So we had a lot of things in common for me living up north, you know. And we just
mm-hmm.
got along well. And, you know, I was just enthralled. He nice dresser. He went to church. I mean, he looked sharp, attractive, all that, you know. And the sex was over the top, man, you know. I mean, I love a guy that scream. That shit just turns me to hell. Oh, Lord. I had a scream. Gosh.
Yeah, I like a man who moans out, too.
Moan
I don't like
ass.
A quiet
calling
lover,
out
you know.
You ready to tell him spell it.
You had him screaming your name, huh? I know that's right.
Okay. Oh, God. Oh, Lord. I mean, that shit just, oh, I just, that just turned me on. And when I think about it, I want to touch my breast because that's just a moment in time. Like, woo! Yes.
I know that's right. I know
Ooh,
that's
Lord
right.
Have
Miss
mercy.
Terry
wow.
is live and in the building.
She was keeping it real, too, because you asked
keeping
her.
It real.
Found out.
I mean,
no doubt.
She's mad about that. I'm telling you.
I'm telling
no
you,
doubt.
It's like going down my back, man. My nipple's getting hard right now. Shit. Oh, Lord.
Woo. Wow.
Oh,
so. Is there anything in that book you want to read or you want to get on to the next book?
Peeling back the mask. Let me see.
Okay, well, let's get to the next book. What's the next book?
It's Insane, the eighth book.
Oh, okay, Insane. Okay. Now, that book, everybody, I do have that book. I certainly do. And like I said, we're going to have a contest, you know, going for some people who would like to win that book tonight. And, you know, if you don't win it, you can go to her website, which we're going to be giving that out shortly, and order her book, or you can download it from the Kindle at Amazon. So tell us a little, tell the listening audience a little bit about Insane.
Insane is a book that is just honest. You know, it's just, you know, it's how you feel when you are secretly, you know, you want to do it with somebody or, you know, you feel stupid because you felt used up. You know, it's just like the word insane. It's like being explicitly honest and owning it.
Hmm. Well, we're going to get you to read a little something from that when we come back from this break, okay?
Darling.
Okay. Hi, I'm Gail Delicious Johnson. I'm more than just a radio personality. I'm also a best-selling author of 5 published books, publisher, ghostwriter, poet, and a speaker. My latest book, a fast-paced, action-packed, drama-filled novel titled Back to Zero, is available. You can order your autographed copies of Back to Zero and any of my books from my website at www.deliciousbooks.webs.com/apps/webstore/. If you're looking to have your dreams come true in a book, look no further. I am the founder and owner of my own independent publishing company, JJ Publishing. JJ Publishing offers service to fit the new or seasoned author's budget. There are no hidden fees. I display a professional business attitude towards my client while treating them with dignity and respect. My mission is to make the first-time author as well as the seasoned author's use of JJ Publishing Services a most beneficial and memorable experience. Back to Zero is selling out fast. Don't be left out. Go to my website. Again, that address is www.deliciousbooks.webs.com/APPS/WEBSTORE/. After you make your purchase, check out my website. I thank you all in advance. I am so sorry. I apologize. Blog Talk just kicked me off the air. Is everybody still there?
I'm here.
Okay. Jadina, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
I'm telling you, Blog Talk just kicked me right on off the air, you know. But anyway, now I'm back. So we're going to get right back into with Authorist Terry E. Lyles. And if you're out there and have any questions or comments, feel free to call in. The call-in number is 646-652-2877. Again, the call-in number is 646-652-2877. All right, Authorist Terry E. Lyles, are you ready to read us something from Insane?
I am. This
something
called
juicy, darling.
My secret lover is something short and sweet. My secret lover comes only at night, where he'll slide under the sheets and my nipples he'll bite. It's always a thrill when he shows up, because I know exactly what he's going to suck. He'll start with my toes and work his way up, as he caresses every area with skill and not luck. He knows how to handle me and what seems to work to make my body sweat as it moves and it jerks. No, I'm not having a seizure. I'm just feeling that thing. Combined with his tongue and the manhood he brings, my body goes crazy and out comes the toys as I scream with excitement and creating some noise. My secret lover will return again as I hide him from view and call him my friend. So, you know, we all had secret lovers. I know I had one. Love it.
I used to have a secret lover, too.
Yes,
I think I
that
still do. I don't know.
The devil.
Well, mine is such a secret, so sometimes I don't even know about it.
Girl, it's called Mr. Dildo, huh?
His name is Bob.
My Lord, you got named the thing.
When I first heard of Bob, somebody was telling me about, I was speaking to one of my girls, and she said, well, honey, I got to go now because I got to go be with Bob. So I said, oh, you got a new boyfriend? She said, yes. So we got to talking. So then she says, so I'm asking her, well, how long, when did y'all meet and all this and that? And then she's going to tell me Bob means battery-operated boyfriend.
I'm scared
said,
of
well,
that.
Okay.
It's, you know, for all y'all people who are afraid to go into the adult stores and pick out your toys and your motion lotion, whatever, just go to the grocery store, get your cucumber, okay? And then you know you can use that. Don't use bananas. They don't hold up under pressure. I know. Been there, done that. Then you can cut it up and put in your salad.
They don't hold up under pressure. I like how you put
that's
that, girl.
That's right, girl. The right position. Pow. And, you know, rock that horse. Yes.
Well, a cucumber, I don't know about a cucumber because I've always been, I don't know about a cucumber because
cucumbers
it doesn't have that flexibility.
But let me say something. Cucumbers come in all different shapes. And when you're using dildos, that rubber makes your vagina smell like rubber. Cucumbers
no, that's why you put a condom on it.
Well,
you put condoms on
right.
your dildos and vibrators.
Still, you know that plastic
rubber
smell,
you
know.
Exactly.
tell them, baby. You know, the cucumber works, honey. You can get the one.
The cucumber do work. I can vouch for that one. It does.
I ain't got no shame in my game.
I didn't know that, because I just was thinking about the flexibility of it, you know, because a dildo will, you know, flex and all this. And then a cucumber, I might try that one time, but I don't know, because I, you know.
Yeah, get an older one, you know, get it where it's like.
Get a ripe cucumber. Get a ripe one.
He said get an older cucumber.
That's what I'm saying.
Catch it on the way down, like when it's almost ready to go.
Yeah, let me ask your co-host something.
You can carve them to the shape you want. So, they ain't going to last long.
But let me ask your co-host something. Now, he's talking about a cucumber. Now, I ain't trying to be, you know, out of order. But how do you know? Is somebody sticking something up in you?
Let me explain something.
I knew where that was going.
Let me explain something to you real quick. A lot of guys be sleeping on the erotic part of sex. So, able to get into it, too. So, I'm all into the toy. I actually said I wanted to get a job as a professional holder.
All right now. You know something, that's
you want to get a job as a professional what?
Reality.
Professional holder.
He said.
I'm going to explain it to you. Come on.
Oh, you
want to
hold? Oh, okay, I got you.
Yeah, I want to hold Bob. I'm a hold Bob. I'm going to help you with Bob.
You know what? You need to talk to some of them brothers that are not sure of themselves, that don't want to hold Bob, because they like, I'm not holding no dick.
That's when you're homophobic. That's when they might have had something up in them.
Let me tell you.
My whole thing is the excitement from your excitement.
Exactly.
I'm going to hold Bob, Tim.
Get a dildo.
I'm going to hold both of the nipple rings. I'm holding all of that for you.
Had all that.
You
can get where you need to be, and I'm going to get where I need to be.
Hello? Who get there first? Hold on. It's coming.
Right, because some men are actually intimidated by toys that women have. That's why when I used to be a romance consultant, I would always introduce them to the bullet, because nobody's afraid of the little bullet. But that bullet is powerful. You hear me? But, you know, most men, if you have a dildo that's bigger than him, what you need that for? Oh, I don't satisfy you. You know, never get a dildo bigger than your man. Never, because that will cause intimidation. You know, some men are intimidated by that.
Same size, even if she gets the same size or a similar width or length, they still look like they're intimidated to hold it. You know what I'm saying? Not all.
I think those are the men who really are not into it. You know, like Gino said, he's more or less wanting to satisfy his wife. So therefore, you know, it really doesn't matter. Because he's secure with his sexuality, whether he's bigger than a dildo, smaller than a dildo, whatever, it's all about his wife. And some men are actually selfish lovers. When it comes to some men who are, they are so selfish until it's not funny.
Because this guy, bless his heart, was a very nice person, went to church, we could communicate well, but he didn't have anything but a button down there, you know, and eat you out, right? Because he wanted to that way. And, you know, and then, you know, it's like, excuse my French, it's like rubbing pussies. You know, I need somebody who want to dig in there. Don't be sitting there playing on the outside. I can touch myself. And I had to cut him loose because he didn't want to use no help. He could have used a dildo and we can still been kicking it, but, you know, he didn't. Man, he had less than what my grandson have. And I said, oh, my God.
Wow.
Less than my pinky finger.
What Mr. B called it, micropenis.
I see it, but I couldn't find it.
Right, and that, you know, some men, they think that they're compensating about having oral sex. Well, there's nothing wrong, and I love oral sex, don't get me wrong, but I want some meat to go with them potatoes. You know, it's all good, you know, to, you know, because I'm a giver as well, but I need something else besides oral sex, because I had almost got married to a guy he had a wee-wee. You know how little boys have a wee-wee? And I didn't find this out because he constantly was going down on me all the time. So one night I said to him, I said, you know what, I enjoy you doing oral with me, all this and that. I said, but I really want, you know, us to be intimate. I want to feel you inside of me. Honey, oh, my God, he kept saying, is it in? And if a man have to ask you if it's in, There's something wrong with that picture. So, exactly. And then when I saw it, I said, oh, my God, no wonder he kept going down on me. But we, and then if I had got married, and when I get married to somebody, it's going to be for the duration. But if I had married him, I'm sorry, I would have been cheating or we had got a divorce or something because he could not, it was no satisfaction there. And like I said, he gave up some good head, but that wasn't all that I wanted. You see what I'm saying? So,
and that's good that you're honest with yourself. And, you know, I had a long time trying to tell this person it's not working because I didn't want to hurt his feelings. But, you know, we as men and women, we need to learn how to let people know if it's not working because if I get married again, it's forever. But I don't want to marry somebody who can't satisfy me. Now, he ain't got to be a big guy, but I at least want to be able to feel it going in. You know, 5 inches, I don't care, but this guy had a button.
Wow.
Wow.
That is sad.
Huh? I'm going to have a moment of silence for the brother. Wow.
We should have all had a moment of silence for him.
Yeah, I'm going to have a moment of silence for him.
And then they think that they're going to throw your legs up in the air and keep pushing up against you, you know, and because it won't stay like he's trying to lay on it, you know. But, you know, people want to make it seem like you're a problem. You know, they won't own it. You know, own it that you ain't born with it. Use something to help you out. But sit there and try to be alpha man and stuff like that. No, I don't need no help because I got kids. It don't take much for some sperm to run up there and impregnate you. That don't mean anything.
Right. And then, you know, the thing that I like is a man who has girth. You know, it really don't have to be that long, but it has to, you know, fit my channel. And then the girth of it is really what makes it good. Because a man with a long penis that's like a hot dog is not good.
Yeah.
No,
you don't want an
Oscar
Mayer wiener. You want an Eckridge dog, something to swell up. Ow.
I'm not, you know, getting down on men, you know, about their private parts or anything like that. But, you know, it should be like a communication type thing. Because maybe when I had gotten with that guy that I was engaged to, maybe if we had started off in the beginning. But, see, he just started off going down on me. You see what I'm saying? But I maybe should have got it from the beginning. And then we wouldn't, because I think we was in a relationship for maybe about, 4 or 5 months. That was just torture. But... you know, and, you know, it's all about communication.
Exactly.
And if you let somebody know, you know, just like another guy, we was having a conversation, and I actually asked him, I said, how big is your penis? You know what he said?
Oh, girl.
I mean, because it was going to come up, if we was going to have sex, I was going to know anyway, but I just asked him, I said, how big is your penis?
But
he said,
some men don't know. Some men really don't know.
Wait a minute, hold up. Listen, he said, I don't know. So I said, well, you never measured it? He said, no. But I can tell you this much. A man knows whether he has a big penis, small penis, medium size. He knows.
Yeah.
He knows, and he don't have to measure it. Then he said, so I said, so you never measured it? You don't know what size it is? He said, no. But lo and behold, it was
he's lying
because,
you know, everybody, I don't care whether you're male or female, when you coming out the shower or the tub, you look at yourself. And you look
but
at your scars or what you don't have or should have, you know. Because, you know, before I had my breast reduction, man, I had some jugs, man. It was killing my back. And I said, damn, you know, I had to pick it up and put it in somebody's mouth. I said, shit, God, these puppies are perky and shit. I'm just loving it. I can see my toes and everything.
Well, you know, it's just a point that, you know, when you get together with somebody, I mean, I just asked him because I was interested in this guy. You know, we were, like, talking about, you know, and so then anyway, after he didn't know all this and that, so anyway, we get to the intimate part. I said, here I go again. Now, this was years after I had, you know, with the first guy.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I said to myself, well, no wonder he didn't want to talk about his dick because, number one, it's small, but if he had said, well, I'm average, because the black man's average size penis is 6 inches, and the black man is supposed to have the largest penis of all the male species. Okay, 6 inches, you know, no problem. But for you to say to me, I don't know the size of my penis, that's a lie. You
exactly.
either have something to hide about it or you don't. And one guy told me he didn't really like to talk about his penis because it was so big, and I found that out. I said, what size is your penis? He said, it's about 3 inches. I said, and you can see the balls in your pants. I can see the ball. And I said, you stop lying. He said, no, it's 3 inches. I said, whatever. But when we got to the intimacy part, oh, my, it was huge. But, you know, some guys, you know, I guess he really didn't want to, you know, talk about it. Because I guess because maybe he had problems because some guys who have big penises.
Because it hurts.
Right, it's a problem. Right.
Right.
And, you know, so they really don't want to let a woman know that they're big because then they may turn them off because some guys I did turn off. Oh, no, you're not putting that in me.
Right.
Go find a baby elephant or something, but you're not putting that in me.
I know that.
And they be trying to say, well, it ain't going to hurt. Wait a minute, hold up. I know what's going to hurt me, and that is going to hurt.
Wow.
Wow.
And I like well-endowed men, you know, but when they are too big, no. Go find a baby elephant somewhere, huh?
I said don't overdo it. 2 inches of waste.
That is true. And then it's only going to go in but so far anyway, but it's just painful because it goes near your bladder, and that's what caused you to have those urinary tract infections. So, you know, you have to be very careful. And the size that you take, you know.
Exactly.
But, no, I've seen some little things, too, because I used to work in the hospital, and, you know, we go in the room and nurses bathing a patient, and this one guy, I've never seen a penis so big in my life. He was a youngin'. This was back in the day. He was 19. I think he was stabbed or something, and they was watching. The nurse said, come here, come here. When she pulled the covers back, and it was about three or four of us in the room. She said, look at this. He was asleep. She said, look at this. Look at this. And it wasn't hard. It was soft. And I said, look, that's it. Oh, my God. It looked like a horse's penis.
Wow.
And I'm just
saying,
I couldn't even imagine what it looked like when it was on hard. But, oh, my God. Some men are like that.
People that are mentally challenged, a lot of time they are overly endowed, you know. But that has to be a problem, I think, because nobody wants to be dealing with that. That's just too much.
Yeah, and that's something, too, because some people live next door to me, they're kind of, like, off. And I've never seen a girl go over there, never. And this one guy, he has two cars, two Corollas. And I said, why do you have two cars? He said, because I like to switch up.
Why?
All right, whatever. But, yeah, you're right. You know, some men are really gifted that don't get a chance to do anything with it because, you know, like you said, they may be mentally challenged or, you know, have some type of illness or whatever. And then you got the men who are blessed who don't know what to do with it, you know, can't use it, don't know how to use it, you know, so... I don't know. How did we get on this subject?
Girl.
I don't know, but it started being intriguing.
I guess it was from that poem you had read, but is there anything else you'd like to read out of Insane?
Okay. Girl, you got me laughing. I'm just tickled, you know. I like hanging out with this environment because it's like, you know, just chilling with your friends, and that's how I like to do, and that's how I like to read my stuff. I like to just be chilling with my friends.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to read one that's called Sex Sells. Sex Sells, and I will make you believe, as I talk really dirty, you will know what I mean. Let me start with a preview when talking about lust, getting hot and sweaty, and nuts that will bust, penetrating that hole and going real deep, slapping those walls where the semen will seep. Legs in the air or hitting it from behind or even role-playing in sex would be fine. Talking dirty,
and screaming out loud as he's pushing it in. And you think, oh, wow, licking your lips before you explode. And then it's your turn to give it a go. Popping his penis deep in your mouth, he trembles and shakes as you take it down south. Immediately, it grows and begins to swell. His man heart is hard, so you know you did well. The blood is pumping and your heart is beating fast while you hold on tightly and you squeeze on his ass. Moments have passed and you have completed the task. Until next time you meet, your memories will last.
Wow. I don't know where we get a towel over here. What?
That's what I'm talking about. Just keeping it real. I hope I don't offend the listeners, but you know, when you talk to Terry Lyle, Terry Lyle's going to tell you what's really going on. You know, don't judge me. Don't say that I don't have any tact. I just like to be honest when I communicate with people.
And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing that, if more people were open and honest with, you know, what they had to say about people, two people and four people, it would be a better world. You know, instead of people stabbing you in the back, talking about you behind your back, you know, and grinning all in your face. You see what I'm saying?
I agree.
Yeah, so if they could just, you know, be a little bit more tactful and say whatever it is they said behind your back to your face, you know, it would be a better world. You know, if we had a lot more Terrys out there, it'd be a better world, y'all, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
I want to tell you. So we're going to take a little break, and we'll be right back.
All right, darling.
wanna be. I wanna show you things that you never, you never, ever, ever seen before. Put your nightgown on, let your hair hang low. Step in our room, I'm in the mood to love you all night long. You got me seeing my, 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 my,
welcome back, everybody. That's Johnny Gill, my, and it is hot up in here. Okay, we're back with the authoress, Terry E. Lyles, our special guest this evening. Second time around, third time around, whatever, this is her second home. And anybody who's out there listening and have a question or comment, feel free to call in. The call-in number is 646-652-2877, and hit the one that'll raise your hand, and I will pull you in if you have any questions or comments for authoress Terry E. Lyles. And we're having an open discussion about her eight books. She's written eight books and had eight books published and is working on her ninth and tenth book. So we're on her last book that she's written, her recent book, which is Insane. So we're discussing Insane, and she just read a couple of pieces out of that, which we're also going to get her to read another piece, because there's a piece in there that I like. I can't think of the name of it, but you may, when you read it, I'll know. So you want to read us another piece? And I hope it's the piece that I like. I can't think of the name of it.
Is it sexual? Is it normal? I mean, I don't know.
It's a sexual one. It's a sexual one. I can't think of the name of it.
Okay, well, sexual one. Okay.
It's the one where I think you're using a strap-on on a guy or something. Is that the one?
Okay, now.
I can't tell you which one, because there's just so much going through my head. It's hard to even know which one you're talking about, because I go from, you know, the extremes, you know. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Well, how about I'll just read one called Dirty Talk.
All right, okay.
Okay, oh, the joys of having internet widely used for wrong intent. Every day, the spam box full of junk pushing sexual bull. Facebook, fuckbook, horny huns, stick your dick between my buns. I like your picture, you are sweet. Think it's time that we should meet. Your ex just sent me this pic. Bugger off, you make me sick. Offers for me to increase my size, coming from both gals and guys. People will do anything for money. Leave me alone, get a real job, honey. Trying to appeal to my carnal side. To depths of hell, they'll have me slide. My computer, someone did hack. I just want my privacy back. My email address they did steal. The trash I get just makes me real. They bombarded me, molested my mind. Where is the worldwide button for rewind? So scumbaggers, here's the news. As for my friends, I will choose. Cause every day is made complete. I select spam mail and it hit delete.
Mm, all right.
All right. Okay.
Wow, that book, I'm telling you, everybody, you need to get your hands on Insane, you know, because I can't think of the name. I'm going to have to go look at my Kindle and see if I can't pull up that piece that you had read. But the book is very diversely written. You know, it's short stories in there. It's poetry in there. It's, you know, it's really a good book. So when you get a chance, go to Terry Lau's website, which is on, is posted in the chat room, which is www.terrylau.com. That's her website. She's also on Facebook at facebook.com/AuthoressTerryE. Lau. She has a fan page on there as well, but I don't know, what is your, how do you, is the link on there still?
I think all you gotta do is put Authoress Terry and the middle initial E, dot Lyle is the one word, and it should go to it and have a picture of my book Insane. But I just want to just thank you, Gail, and your co-host Dino and Miss Jade and Rhea, just for having me on. It's always comfortable when I'm hanging out with my friends, you know. And like I said, I don't mean to offend, but I'm keeping it real. You know, I want to share about me and who I am to other people, because I'm going to let you know, baby, you can't blackmail me. I'm going to tell my own story.
I know that's right, and
oh,
I feel the
right.
Same way. You know, because if somebody want to blackmail me, my book is, my life is an open book. You know, anything you want to know about me, I'm going to let you know. And if it's something I don't want you to know, trust and believe, you won't know. But I have nothing to hide. You know, I live my life recklessly and dangerously coming up. But, you know, you come to a point in your life where you settle down and you change, you know. So I've been there, done that. You know, where some people are just going, I already been. You know, so if you think you could pull a wool over my eyes and tell me it's raining when you're pissing on me, don't
That's
try
right.
it.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, don't try it. And this has been a wonderful evening, Terry. And, you know, I love having you on here. And like I said, this is your second home, you know, because I, you know, you will be coming back again, you know, because you have those other books coming out. And you want to let everybody know, well, I've already let them know where they can reach you. But is there anything else you want to leave our listening audience with?
Yes, I want to let them know that I have a radio segment called Unmasked with Authoress Terry E. Lyle, and it's on Blog Talk Radio. And if you just go to Blog Talk Radio and in the search engine put Unmasked, you will find me. And I talk about an array of subjects, you know. If you want to be my guest, give me a call at 443-956-8753. My shows are not censored. You can be candid. Just speak your mind, and we're going to share your life and share your stories. And I just want to say, I also got a show every Thursday called Authors Corners via the WML 104.1 FM DJ Mel Radio. But and that's for pretty much the literary field exclusively. But I just want to tell everybody, just check me out. You know, if you get to know me, you'll love me. If you don't want to deal with me, just keep it moving, you know, and we'll still be okay. You know, I'm not trying to change your life. I don't want you trying to change mine. I just want to live in it, you know. And with that being said, I just want to say thank you again for having me. I love all of y'all, and I'm glad to see you got a new co-host, Dino. It's good to have a male point of view, and the
right.
lovely Jade, who's a sexual guru.
Love
you back.
Yeah, yeah. So, Jay, do you have any closing remarks?
Oh, no, I just want to say it was very nice to be in this environment, being able to speak to like a grown-up.
All right now, baby.
Because a lot of men out here playing and messing it up for the real men out here. And when you come across a few people that know what they're talking about, especially when it comes, it's not really all about sex, but like basically the world revolves around sex. So you have to really blend in real good. It'll be a lot less stress in the world if everybody can do that. So when you express yourself the way you have about your views and your feelings on things, that makes it easier. So
right.
I was glad to be in on this one.
Right. And Jadino, give us a little background of what you do, because he's a very talented artist, very talented. He's multi-talented. I've seen, you know, works of his on Facebook, and give them out your Facebook address if, in case, you know, you want somebody to check your page out on Facebook as well, or however they can get in touch with you.
You can just hit me on Jadino, DINOBLASCKO on Facebook. I pretty much got a little bit of everything on there. But I'm an artist. I've been doing art, like, since I was 3 years old. I used to be in trouble for doing art, so I knew that's what I was going to be doing. I do graphics. I do all types. I do all types of media. Graphics, mm-hmm. I do payment. I paint women's shoes. I like anything that got something to do with women. So I like doing all kind of women clothing, shoes, furniture. I've done a few book covers, a couple of them been used, a couple of them haven't. I do film, and I film with Mitch Credo. I do a lot of projects with him. I do special effects, like a lot of movies you see. If you see any, like, bullet wounds damaging parts of the body, I do that. I paint. And that's pretty much it. And anything medium. That's why I would say I'm changing my I had art to the extreme, but I'm going to do animal because that's like my catchphrase.
Right. He also speaks his own language as well.
Yeah, I have my own language. basically, I just say whatever way I was. I pretty much kept it in English on the show tonight, you know. So, but eventually, I know I'm going to be slipping a few of my words in.
There's nothing wrong with that because it's, it's nothing wrong
with
that.
Yeah, that's what I said. I smash days and events and feelings into one word, but I break it down for you because it's basically an art form. I also do poetry. I do. I write a lot too. So,
Why
this is perfect for me.
Right, because you can. Because when we have our poetry night, or even you can just, you know, maybe we'll just bust out and say, well, you know, spit something for us. So, you know, I just want to get people used to our new co-host, and you know, he's going to be here, and I do appreciate you accepting the invitation for, you know, being the man in the house.
Oh, I like that.
I know that's right, Miss J.
That was it too. I like that.
Like that.
Okay, Miss Jade.
I just want everybody to check us out. I enjoy being here tonight. I just want to let y'all know I just enjoyed it tonight. So, Miss Terry, thank you so much for just being in our family and just being a part of Delicious Talk Radio.
Well, thank you, sis. You know, and they need to understand this young lady, Jade, is going to also be on my show. I think it's the 24th of this month, and can't wait. She's going to give you some advice on how to put the spice back in your love life and everything you need to know and want to know. She gives private lessons, so it's good to know that Gail has surrounded herself with such dynamic people.
Well, thank you, darling.
Thank you.
So,
yeah,
Jay,
I want everybody to just join us tomorrow on Erotic Talk Radio. And check us out where Miss Gail is, Miss Delicious is my co-host. And so we are going to have a fabulous time. It's every Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern. And also check out our group on Facebook. Just look for Erotic Talk Radio and ask to join in the group so you can get in some of our juicy discussions.
Now, Terry, you forgot to give out the time that your show airs on Friday.
Oh, my show airs every Friday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And if you want to call into the show, you can listen in or comment or ask a question. You can call 347-945-6003.
Okay. Well, you know, we're at the end of the show, and Bringing Sexy Back is for the mature listening audience, and, you know, our subject matter is sexual but not limited to other social topics. We discuss relationships, current events, and issues relevant to everyday life, and we appreciate you, our listening audience, for questions and comments. And if you have a topic you'd like for us to discuss or would like to be a guest on the show, send an email to me. That's gjdelicious37@gmail.com. Or to either of my co-hosts, that's Rhea at RhiaAlexis@yahoo.com. and also to, you know, give out your email address in case someone wants to be a guest or have a topic for the show.
Okay, it's j.dinoblasco, dinoblasco@gmail.com.
Okay, and in the subject line, type topic or guest. And we're here every Wednesday from 10:30 p.m. for an hour to an hour and a half, sometimes 2 full hours if it gets juicy, and sometimes longer than that. But, you know, tune in every first Friday for open topics, and the last Friday at 10:30 p.m. for the musical show, which is slow jam, house music, or happy hour, and that plays songs from the 50s on up. And on Sunday, you have got to come by Gail's Blues Joint. That's at 7 p.m. You join me for some blues and sassy music. And remember, bringing sexy back does not mean you've lost your sexy. Bringing sexy back is a state of mind and how you perceive yourself. And I'd like to thank you. First of all, I'd like to thank you, Terry, for being our fabulous guest this evening.
Thank you, Jade,
for being my co-host. And Jadino for being my guest co-host, I'm sorry, and Jadina for being my co-host this evening. And, you know, I wish everybody, you know, rested a happy evening. And see you guys. Oh, let me give you a little lineup of what's going to be here next week. On next Wednesday, I'm having Angel After Midnight, and she's a young lady who is an expert at fellatios. So you don't want to miss that. If you have any questions.
Yeah.
Well, I
got my DVDs in my book. Woo,
I got my DVDs
in Alabama. Yeah.
Right. So if you have any questions or comments or anything like that, write them down and have them ready because she is going to be ready. And on the 22nd, Jade is going to be my guest. And the 29th, I guess we're going to interview Jadino for a minute or two. Because we'd like to get to know, you know, our people that we're working with, you know, so, and to give the audience a little something of, you know, who they're listening to, you know, every Wednesday here. So with that being said, I do appreciate everybody who stopped in the chat room or who's listening on whatever device that they're listening on. And hopefully, you know, you're not out in the cold. And if you're homeless or know somebody that's homeless, if you can give them a coat, a blanket, or direct them to a shelter or something, you know, look out for them because, you know, it's sad that we live in the good old United States and people are homeless, you know. Okay. So do that and hope you guys have a nice evening. Good night, everybody, and thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
My Nana got the best radio show on the internet.